This is Candace Rowan, Director of Marketing for Aquila Group of Funds. Today is January 19th, and I'm joined by JT Thompson, Lead Portfolio Manager of Aquila Tax-Free Fund for Utah. Welcome to the podcast, JT.
Welcome. Thanks.
JT, now that we know that the Democratic Party will control the executive and legislative branches for at least the next 2 years, what are your thoughts on policy changes that might impact the muni market?
There's a few things. What has been said is they want to reverse the Trump tax cuts, so that could mean tax increases. Biden has mentioned that he wants the wealthiest 1% to pay their fair share. So tax increases are probably in the mix. In the muni side, they're looking at maybe reinstating the ability to issue tax-exempt debt to refinance existing tax-exempt debt. That would be helpful for a lot of cities in refinancing their debt at these low interest rates. And they've also talked about infrastructure spending. So there is, you know, a little bit of everything talked about. The $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill has billions of dollars to help cities and states and bail them out of some of their debt. Utah, they have a constitutional amendment. You have to have a balanced budget. So we haven't had any deficit spending here, and our budgets are well within reach. In fact, we have rainy day funds. And as far as infrastructure, Utah has been very careful in spending, but has been spending on infrastructure. In 2020, there was $800 million in municipal bonds issued for both the moving the prison out towards the airport and the widening of Interstate 15. So in a measured pace, Utah has been, over the years, spending on infrastructure. There could be some other projects available, but it has to be within the budget for the state of Utah.
You mentioned how the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act prohibited tax-exempt refundings, which we know is one reason why we've seen an increase in taxable issuance over the last couple of years. Would you say that taxable munis are gaining popularity in general with investors and issuers, and do you expect to see that trend continue?
The low treasury rates has enabled taxable municipal bonds to be issued to refinance tax-exempt bonds. What has happened over the last few years, municipal finance is starting to be understood worldwide, and an exempt rate, I mean, worldwide, they've been buying tax-exempt bonds. But with taxable municipals being a spread over treasuries and the credit quality being there, we have seen an enormous amount of demand from overseas investors, to the point where a lot of the official statements do have qualification opinions by attorneys of what countries these bonds have been registered to sell. In Europe, you have seven European countries that their 10-year bond is 30 basis points or negative in interest rates. When you see taxable munis with probably the same default rate as most governments, there is a way to pick up extra yield, and that's their popularity. But even before they did away with a tax-exempt refunding, tax-exempt bonds, municipal finance has been popular worldwide.
Let's talk about defaults. We discussed defaults on the last podcast, but I think it's worth discussing again now that we have a new administration committed to focusing heavily on implementing measures across the country to control this pandemic. Do you expect to see any more stress on certain muni sectors and potentially defaults in Utah and nationally?
Not in Utah. Nationally, again, with the COVID relief of helping cities and states out, we're probably not going to see a lot of defaults there. In municipal finance, for the most part, municipal bonds securitize a revenue stream. In general obligation bonds, it's the taxing power of the issuer. For essential services like electric, water, sewer, it is the ability to raise rates to cover debt service. The area, the sector that has the most default rate is what we call conduit financing. For example, hospitals, nursing homes, those type of bonds where if the revenue isn't generated, then the revenue isn't there to pay off the debt service. That's where we see the highest amount of defaults. That will continue. There could be some convention centers, which would be a conduit financing, or even maybe some hotels that were issued with tax-exempt debt having problems because of the revenues aren't there because of COVID. We try to stay away from conduit financing and stick with essential services and general obligation bonds.
Thanks, JT. Building on all of that sector information, let's close with your outlook for the local and the national muni market over the next few months. Where do you think yields might go from here?
Well, locally, Utah's economy is in good shape. They expect at least a 1% increase in 2021, which is great considering the pandemic. In 2022, they see maybe a little slight off from revenue growth there, mainly because they expect construction spending in 2021 to be a lot lower than previously, and that's mainly because a lot of the projects are being finished, the major projects. So, and the legislature, they're looking at that and using those estimates in their budgets. But Utah is still in decent shape. I don't see any real concerns or headwinds for the Utah economy. Interest rates going forward, the 1 to 7 year range on tax exempt municipal bonds has gotten to so low that you're starting to see resistance at that level, and it's harder and harder on new issue deals to see those bonds being sold. So going forward, maybe a little bit of the flattening of the municipal yield curve in the short end to get rates up a little bit higher to bring in buyers. But just a little bit of resistance there. I think the COVID and the spending by the Fed and the buying by the Fed will keep rates range bound probably between the 10-year between 75 basis points and maybe 1.25%, be range-bound until the economy really starts to pick up.
This was great info. Thank you for joining me today, JT. We always enjoy your valuable Muni insight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Before investing in the fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Information regarding holdings is subject to change and is not necessarily representative of the entire portfolio. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of funds with greater geographic diversification. The fund seeks to provide as high a level of income exempt from state and federal income tax as is consistent with capital preservation. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the ratings they assign to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued for the purpose of retiring or redeeming an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is the difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income in excess of an applicable threshold amount. The acronym PERS, P-E-R-S, stands for Public Employee Retirement System. The acronym PERA, P-E-R-A, stands for Public Employees Retirement Association.